All right, D. Well, you can go ahead and get started.
Yeah. Did you have fun?
Fun on what?
I don't know what we're doing.
All right, I'll just do it quick. You always forget these steps, you know that?
I don't remember shit.
I can see that. Warning, the following episode will contain spoilers and strong language, because we will continue to curse. It's just who we are. And people, stop messing around in the background.
Sorry, I was turning off my television.
I don't want to hear it. Anyways, enjoy the show. Hello, and welcome to another episode of We're Waiting For You. I'm your host, Star, along with my co-host, Devo.
Hello.
Hello. And tonight, Devo, I think this is a great runner-up to... Following our conclusion of the Penguin is Dune Prophecy, bro. I was excited for this show.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Dune universe, and I love what Denis Villeneuve has done with the, you know, the 1980s version was interesting, but not exactly memorable. It was like a cult classic, but not as good as what he's doing right now with the Dune content.
Agreed. Agreed. Yeah, it's to be able to create a series right after that, the new Dunes that just came out, and make sure it is equally as good, because they got to be good, right? They can't half-ass this shit. I'm excited. I can't wait to see more. And right out of the gate with episode one, it's a slow start. I found it as a slow start, but obviously we need to get some context here. What's going on? I love the fact that we were given times, right? Like, there's a part right at the beginning that, you know, a whole series of events happen, but then we're given like, hey, 61 years later or 50 years later, actually it was 30 years later, and then 113,000 years before, you know, the birth of, what's his name, Atreides from the movies, Paul Atreides.
Yeah, essentially the timeline is this is 10,100 years before the events of the Dune movies. This is going way, way, way back.
Mm-hmm.
And sets up what the Bene Gesserit, the, as they say, the witches, what they're doing to try to influence what's happening. We'll see, you know, how this goes with how much they really want to connect this, or if they want to make it its own story. It looks like with a lot of the imagery, at least, that we're seeing a lot of, you know, we're seeing a lot of connections. We're seeing worms, and we're hearing about Arrakis. So it's a big universe, but it seems like that this show at least doesn't want to stray too far off of what's happening in the events of Dune.
I would agree. At the same time, you know, they're so far before Atreides is born, Paul Atreides. But I love the fact that they're laying this foundation of, you said it already, the Bene Gesserit, where we find out she creates the voice, which is played by Emily Watson. She plays Valya Harkonnen.
Yep.
Valya. Sometimes. Anyways, but, you know, there's a strong cast here, but Travis Fimmel, which is, he plays Desmond Hart. And then my favorite from everyone here so far, because he's just a tremendous actor, is Mark Strong, which plays the Emperor.
Yes. He plays Emperor Javica Carino.
Yeah. When it comes to movies and Mark Strong and anything he does acting it, he gives it his fucking all. And it's just so great to have him on screen and watch him. I've learned a bunch of new actors and actresses on this episode, because everyone plays their part so well. Really well.
Yeah. Yeah, essentially you have... there's four families that you get to meet in this first episode. You meet the Harkonnen and the Atreides, which mm-hmm. the Atreides only get one representative. That's the Swordmaster. It seems like the two main families that, as they're interacting as a family... In this one are the Carino, who are, they're the Emperor family, and they're the Emperor mm-hmm. family from now all the way until the events. For 10,000 years, they rule as the Emperor family. That's who Paul Atreides used in Dune 2, the movie. Paul Atreides, when he does his scene there where he does the trial by combat or whatever you want to call it, that you know, choose your champion scene with Christopher Walken. Christopher Walken is somewhat like, you know, Emperor Carino, like the fifth, whatever. It's a long way down the fucking line. It's 10,000 years later. So that this family is still in power after 10,000 years. Mostly because the witches have decided that, right?
Yes,
Like
and
they're the one. Yeah.
no, and we see that early on in this episode where we see where they were created, the Bene Gesserits, and how they developed their skills and, have this school for the for the girls and just mold them. And right out of the gate, we find out that Valya Harkonnen was kind of the pinnacle person of, I'm gonna make sure this works, I'm gonna make sure that we're in total control, and they have what is called the seeds that they
Yep.
the genetic seeds that they're gonna cultivate for the future and control everything. That's I really like how they set this up because it brings you behind what's going on of the Dune movies. It shows you how this was developed. And I love the fact that we're getting different perspective of, in this case, the Bene Gesserits and also the Carrinos and how they came to power. And not just came to power, but also held on to that power.
And so there's something really interesting right at the beginning of this episode that sets up an explanation for what is happening in the Dune universe 10,000 years later. I love how it starts with the AI versus human, the robots versus humans, the
Yes.
machines versus humans war. And that explains all the way to the events of Dune why they're fighting with swords. There's not advanced machines. You'd wonder why such a super advanced spacefaring people wouldn't have robots doing their daily tasks.
Yes.
Why are they they're out there physically harvesting the spice. They're using swords. You know what I mean? Like they really do not want anything machine-wise fighting for them. You'd even think like something even like as modern as like an auto-loading tank like what we have right now, they probably would not like
Right.
because just the automation of the auto-loading tank or something like that.
Yes, and I gotta agree. I love that whole beginning sequence because it shows us, this is what occurred. This is why we don't have these advanced technologies. This is why it's kind of outlawed. And it's funny because we're going through here in the world currently a kind of an age of AIs, right? And like you said to yourself, we have tanks that reloads itself, and it shows you in this world it was so bad they outlawed everything, and it was the Carino family that this is how kind of they came into power because they made sure the war ended with them being the victors.
Correct. Yeah, and they even they it really became a theme throughout the entire episode because it even about three quarters in, you get the kid's toy that goes off. They don't even like toys. Like that's how severe this thing about anti-robot is. Is something like a Game Boy would be illegal. So, and that would be the little boy there would be the Ricchisi family. Who that's what this episode's about is it's a marriage between the Ricchisis and the Carrinos, and the Ricchisi family is apparently a very good shipbuilding for spacefaring or for in atmosphere fighting, but they're very good builders of ships, so that's what the trade-off is that the Ricchisis are going to put their young kid up into the royal family, and in return the emperor is going to get a brand new fleet of ships out of it. Which, works out, but everybody's really uneasy about this deal. And then it
Especially
really gets
the
uneasy.
emperor, yeah.
I mean, the Emperor's extremely uneasy about it. But what's interesting is it gets really uneasy when Travis Fimmel, aka Desmond Hart, comes back from Arrakis. And this is the soldier. This is the. Everybody
Lone
else here seems
survivor.
to be. Lone survivor from an attack. He served 12 tours on Arrakis when he says most only survived two or three. So this guy's pretty battle tested. And
Pretty badass.
pretty badass. I noticed something. Well, I watched the episode twice, but I noticed something when I rewatched it a second time was when he arrives at the capital, the planet there. He walks in the front gate, and the guards don't even ask him for, like, he's been gone for a while, but he
Yes.
has such standing. He is like the champion of the army. He has such standing that he walked into the palace and they just walked. They opened the doors for him. They didn't ask him for shit. He just walked right into the buildings. Was and you know the emperor himself knew his name. So, you know, I'm assuming these armies are quite large. I'm sure the emperor doesn't know everybody's fucking name. He knows this guy. This guy is pretty damn good at his job.
Right. And at first I was like, who doesn't stop somebody from entering the palace? And at first I was like, because we've seen it in the commercial, they alluded to a little bit of the powers. And I was like, oh shit, does he have like the fucking force where he can just like, yeah, just let me walk through type of deal? But then after you kind of realize, and you already said it, is you see that he has a large standing, because he even says to the emperor at one point, oh, I was hoping for kind of a job here. Bro, there was no pushback or like, yeah, you got to go through some training. And they were like, no, sure, you know, you have to see what we can get you down here. And I was like, is it that easy? But the guy is seems to be well known, well, you know, accoladed, and just the way he dresses, the way he walks around, it was just like nonchalant about it. And who's going to tell him anything, right? From the looks of it.
Yeah, and he, like I said, he knows something. He knows a secret, and it sounds like that the Emperor's troubles on Arrakis might not be Fremen related, that they're from the Imperium themselves.
Internally,
That the
yes.
yes, and they don't let you stew about that for longer than 10 minutes because you have a meeting with the Bene Gesserit, and Valya Harkonnen immediately admits. Are, you know, how about our plans about I don't know what exactly their wording is, but undoing of the Emperor's powers, or, you know, they have a plan. They apparently have a
Yes.
plan, and this goes all the way back to they want to put a sister of the sister of the Bene Gesserit. They want to turn the Emperor's daughter, Inez, Princess Inez, into, you know, one of them. And then put her in control, and then uh-oh, the Emperor fell on a knife. I think that's kind of what the plan is, and it
I don't
might
think
be.
so.
I'm not sure either. I'm not too stuck on that. I'm just trying to figure out because that's the plan is to get one of them in power, and what better way would be to have them have her move into the throne before the little dumb bastard is old enough? Because the little kid's only 9 years old. That's the marriage is from the Ricchisi to Inez,
No, but you're right.
Corona.
You're right
Karina.
so far about them getting married, and that's the point. Put her in power by marrying her off to this kid from the Ricchisis, and I don't think they'll kill Mark Strong by making him land on a knife. I think the plan is, you know, he's gonna retire. This kid is gonna take power with the with Inez, but Inez also, you can see it in her eyes. She's like, no, this is mine to take. Before he becomes of age to rule this, you know, universe, this empire, something's gonna happen to the kid, right? And that's the way I saw it the whole time. I thought she was gonna seize control from the kid as they grew together in this marriage, but the kid only gets not even half an episode, and they fucking kill him off, bro. It was
It's
gruesome,
actually,
but
yeah,
wow.
it's really sad too because I usually hate kids and I was loving this kid. He was such a fucking asshole.
Yes,
It,
he
just
was.
the just the just the way he was, like yeah, you don't have to smile, you don't have to talk,
No, you don't. We don't
just
have
eat.
to. We don't have to have a conversation. This is only for
No,
formalities.
just eat the fucking fruit and shut up, bitch.
No. Even when she goes to feed him the little fruit, he grabs it like, nah. But bro, I loved it when he thanked her after the whole ordeal with the little AI toy. And he was like, thank you, thank you. And she was like, listen here, you little shit. If you ruin this for me, I was like, oh man,
Yeah,
that was
she was
great.
not
That
having
was
any of
great.
it. But yeah, no, it's a fine start in my opinion, and that's where we kind of tease it a little bit. You know, bad thing happens, little kid. It turns out that Mr. Desmond Hart has some kind of kinetic ability to burn people alive by thinking about them, and he burns the kid alive, or something. I don't know. Maybe someone far away is using him like a vessel for the power. One or the other.
Yes.
Something it might not be him, because he did look like he was like not enjoying it. He wasn't
Right.
enjoying killing the little kid.
Right. It might be that it's a kid, right? He's killing a kid in this scene, but also one of the Bene Gesserits dies, one of the sisters. What was it?
Yes,
I can't
Ashi.
remember. Ash, yes. And it's funny. I was thinking the same thing because we see on one of the scenes where a sandworm just flops on him when he leaves Arrakis or when he survives. So I took that into account. I also took into account, we had this whole story and then also this hate of AIs. Maybe that's also part of this. It could be nanobots. Who the fuck knows at this point, right? But I don't like to leave anything out of chance here. So it's a little crazy because he doesn't destroy the AI toy. He gives it back to the kid. And as far as we know, he doesn't destroy the toy itself. So I have all this in the air and I'm like, man, this is, who knows what this new power is? Because we're getting introduced to the voice at the beginning of this episode, but now we're getting introduced to now this power, which we haven't seen before in any Dune movie.
I very much believe that there's going to be some stuff that we haven't seen yet because they are setting up. So people have done the original Dune storyline multiple times. What they've never done is they've never gone and done the last books. And that's where apparently, from what I don't know shit, I don't know anything about it. So if anybody's here a Dune truther or whatever, apparently shit gets weird after this, like really weird.
Are you talking about after
Everybody love
this timeline or after the like Paul
after the
Atreides and all?
movie where the movies are right now.
Yeah. Oh, it
They've
gets very
done the
fucking
whole.
weird. It gets very fucking
Okay,
weird.
yeah, that's what I've heard. So maybe this is that's what they're going to do here is that Denis Villeneuve, who does the movies, is gonna get really weird. And this show is like a let's warm them up a little bit to it. And Marvel has done stuff like this before where Marvel has been like, hey, we're gonna be we got this movie Doctor Strange that's coming out, and it's not gonna be like guy builds an Iron Man suit or super soldier gets a super serum. Shit's gonna get weird, so how can we warm people up to it? And they've done actually a really good job with some of that sometimes. They've done a really good job of warming people up to weird shit. And that might be what this show is just, hey, the audience is going to get tripped out if we go fully weird in the next movie without any warning. So this could be it.
So it's funny you say weird. We got a couple things in this episode where we haven't seen in a Dune movie even before, where we see a kid get burned, alive. He was fully conscious. We saw a woman get burned from the inside out, but we also get like a sex scene, which we haven't really gotten in another Dune movie, right? Where they go full
No.
fledged, like she was like taking off his pants, which was Karin Atreides. He was the swordmaster, where she was all in for it. We see drugs because they're huffing whatever drugs there are. Oh, space crack! I made this joke in my notes, Devo. Apparently, space crack is still a thing. Where they're just
Yep.
sniffing away. I was like, oh shit, okay. But they decided at some point, hey, we're not holding back. We're gonna have drugs, and not just one drug. We're gonna have three different drugs. We're gonna have space sex here. I mean, they are not holding back here.
No, they are not. Which is interesting because now I want to go back and look at what was the rating of the Dune movie? Was it rated R? I assume it
Let's take a look.
was because of the actions of Fade Rocco.
So Dune Part 1, which was, the latest one, 2021, was rated PG-13.
Okay.
And Dune Part 2 was rated PG-13 as well.
Really?
Yeah, they were both rated PG-13 from the looks of it here.
That's actually kind of amazing because there's some pretty brutal killing scenes in part two when Fade Rotha is just slitting people's throats when he was getting dressed.
Yes. Yeah, and he was licking the knife and then just stabbing the girl
I
and
would
then yeah.
I would expect that. That's probably one of those situations where 1999, that's a hard R, but nowadays we've just been just so desensitized to the shit.
It'll be interesting to see the next one, which is going to be Messiah, to see what they're going to rate that one as. I'm guessing PG-13 as well.
Yeah, I assume the movies are aiming for the PG-13 for just for the wider audience. So it is interesting that the show went as, it is a R-rated show. It has sex, it has drugs, it has nudity. We have not seen genitalia like a Game of Thrones because this is HBO. That's the thing we should tell these people that it's HBO. We have not seen the genitalia like what we would see in an HBO like Game of Thrones. But it is definitely closer to maybe Sopranos level.
I will
Which is
say
funny because
still no, because Sopranos was had his crazy moments as well. I mean,
it did, but I mean, it's about the same level, I thought, like, graphic wise. But
we are still early on, right? We're only one episode in.
yes, yeah, we're only one episode in, so things might get crazy. I don't know. We might have, full on, shit that we saw in Game of Thrones. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're here for the first episode, people. Don't judge us if you end up, turned on episode four and there's just a guy stroking his dick in the corner. Not my,
You know what? You know
no,
what's funny?
that's
They
not
have
on us.
a sequence in this episode where they have, prisoners, and I thought they were gonna fully show them nude, but no, they found a way with lighting to just cover the bottom part and just show their face.
Yeah, like I said, that might be the limit. Like, they might be okay with the boobs and the butts, and that might just
I,
be the limit.
you know what's funny? I said it when I was watching this episode. I go, they're probably gonna show breast at some point here, and then they're gonna probably show ass, and that is gonna be the limit to this. And obviously with a dark shadow, because Dune is a very dark movie and show, and I think that's how they're gonna play it off.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah.
But anyways,
But yeah.
we're focusing on that, even though there's quite a few other things. I love it when a show does the political fight, the internal struggles. In this case is the Emperor against everyone else around him, and he's already sensing, like, what does he call him? He calls him, they'll feed me to the worms, right? And
Yeah.
I love how he's playing this role of, I need to be careful, I need to be conscious here. And you can see that him and his wife are not very, they're not clicking together here. And I would love to see by episode four, and what are we getting? Six episodes of this, right? This is a very short
Correct.
miniseries.
Six episodes, yeah.
Yeah, I will be interested to see, I guess, episode three, not even four, episode three, what is going to happen? He's not clicking with his wife. Obviously, the whole thing that's going to happen now with the Richesis it's on the brink of collapsing here because of what's going on. And it's, man, this struggle is going to be crazy. Now I'm all here for it and see what happened with Arrakis.
Yeah, one of the future things that I'm looking forward to is the return of Robert Baratheon, the head of the Harkonnen family is played by Mark Addy. Who anybody here who's watched Game of Thrones, he was Robert Baratheon. He was the king from season one, who was easily the best character of the entire show. Hilarious, overly funny. Big fat drunken king, and he's gonna play Evgeny Harkonnen, and he will be Valya and Tula's uncle, and he's ahead of the family.
Yes.
And
One thing
so I'm
we haven't
really excited
mentioned
to see
here.
his. Yeah,
Well,
sorry,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm just really excited to see him make his appearance.
One thing we haven't really mentioned here is the state of which the Harkonnen are in right now. They are not in power right now. Like, not in the least slightest way they are in the movies. You can tell
Are you
they are
saying
struggling.
you're not a fan of whale fur?
Well, you know what? I was thinking of buying some. We should call up Essie and see if she has any whale.
Yeah.
But you can tell they are just struggling. And it's nice to see how they're probably going to show us how they kind of climb the ladder here, because obviously the main sister that is in power, Valya Harkonnen from the Sisterhood, the Bene Gesserit, she's going to be the reason why they come into power more and more.
Yeah, that's what I assume. Even though she doesn't want to help the family, they ask, hey, we would like a truthsayer at the very beginning, and she says, no, you can decline them for the fourth time,
Yes.
because truth sayer allows the household to move upwards, or at least they believe that. They don't realize they're being controlled. They feel like it's giving them power. But really, the witches are the ones in control. It's the other way around.
But
Yeah,
it's go ahead.
I assume them just being vicious is probably how they get to their standing.
I saw it kind of twofold. One is Valya has some kind of grudge against the family, right? Maybe part of the reason why she's at the Sisterhood, maybe part of the reason why she doesn't have a family per se, because we see her and her sister are now part of the Bene Gesserit. And I see her holding this grudge, but also at the same time, maybe her plan is, I don't want no one to control, to be part of the Harkonnens until I get there. You know, who knows what's going to happen by episode, the next episode or the third episode. I kind of see them introducing the Harkonnens more into the fold here by the next episode or the third. They're not going to wait till 4, 5, or 6. They can't. I kind of see this as they're going to start pushing up the envelope here because we get introduced to a couple of the Harkonnens already.
Yeah, that is true. And that, to be honest, this doesn't have the Penguin definitely felt like this was going to be a one-off. And maybe we could squeeze out a season two, but probably that season two wouldn't happen until after the next Batman movie. This Dune Prophecy definitely screams 3, 4, 5 seasons. I have a
Yes.
feeling they could really lay the groundwork for, if it's successful, if the ratings are high, they could lay the groundwork for this to be, because I got 10,000 years to fucking kill.
Yeah.
And that is kind of the same thing like Game of Thrones, is because you have these huge, you know, like the current House of the Dragon that's going on right now is 150 years or something like that before the events of Game of Thrones. So you have plenty of time to do whatever you want. It's not going to run into I know it's all source material, but you're not going to run into the theatrical source material. You
Right.
can do anything you want. And based on my research online, when I was looking, I was wanting to look up all these houses. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of hard information. They're just kind of like, hey, they held control of this planet for 300 years. All right, well, what was the name of the father, the wife, the kids? How did they die? None of that is canon. This is they're allowed to do kind of whatever they want here, and I'm kind of excited about that. There's some stuff in the books, obviously, but it's not as explicit as what we would expect.
And it's funny. I'm sure there's some hardcore Dune people out there. Duners, I guess I'm calling them. As I read online when the first Dune movie with, Timothée Chalamet came out, and I was just doing some research on it. It was so good, like kind of the lore behind it. And I read more and more and more, like how the different houses, the sword masters, how they came into play, what family they came from, and how crazy that was to be considered a sword master. It's not a joke. They're fucking good, like really fucking good. And how even some of these smaller role characters, like the sword master for Paul Atreides, actually creates his own house, creates his own family. They have so much to work here. So you're absolutely 100% right, Devo. They have so much room to work here. They can do pop out a second season before the next movie, or even after the next movie, they can pop out a third season, a fourth season, where it kind of leads the story more and kind of gives us more of a glimpse into Dune, into the houses, into different houses, into different lore, really. And I'm so excited for this. I mean, you said it. We have 10,000 years to play with. I think we got way more than that because at some point, if they're going to continue the movies, they're probably going to do a time jump after Paul Atreides has his kids in the movies and, how they end up in power. So, yeah.
Sounds good, man. I'm gonna be here for it.
Absolutely. I mean, there was so much that happened in this first episode, and obviously, we're leaving a couple things out, like how their training is, how the struggles. Already, we can see the cracks in the wall for the Bene Gesserit, as far as, Valya Harkonnen, for the Emperor, and just other things happening with other characters. But it's just great to see it now and a media that we're gonna see it where we're gonna get a movie later on for this. We got six episodes, so I'm all in.
Yeah, I'm all into. I think it's gonna be a fun show, and they better not kill off anyone that I like, that I'm
Who's
still
so far,
salty
who's your
about.
favorite?
I like Mr. What's his name there? God dang it, I'm gonna blank right now. Travis Fimmel, Desmond Hart. I brought him up. I brought this character up when we reviewed Warcraft because I loved him in Warcraft, and I love him in this.
Yeah. He plays very specific roles. You don't see him like he doesn't play a lawyer. The way he acts is very dark and reserved, but he chooses his words carefully with all his characters, right? And it's funny, this role so far has been phenomenal for him. I've seen him in a couple movies and I'm like, ah, I didn't like him in that one. I didn't like him in that one, but I liked him in this one. On this one, this is so good for him so far. So I hope this does very well for him. So far for me, I already said it's Mark Strong, but I am very happy with the way Sarah Sophia, which is plays Princess Inez plays. She's done an amazing job so far with this one episode, even Emily Watson. So I can't wait for how we get this pacing going and have these actors just fully act and be so loved in this role.
I liked her. I liked her a lot too. She's hopefully that's going to be a fun thing to watch too. Is her evolution as Inez, of course, right after I say this, she's probably going to die in the next episode.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. It's just because we're seeing there's the plan is not going according to the plan. So, yeah. But anyways, we got some more episodes coming out, so I can't wait for the next one.
I'm all in. And we'll be doing that next week, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. So, all right. Other than that, I have nothing else to wrap up on here, Debo. All
Me neither, man.
right. Other than that, thank you everyone for joining us for this week's episode. Can't wait to have you back for episode 2 of Dune Prophecy. Take care, everyone.
See you next week.
Bye.